Coming up on episode number 564, I have an interview with the legendary Don Guckenberger. We take some listener email, a call-in question, and we'll even end things up playing a little game with Tina. It's all coming up right now on the Rock, Paper, Scissors Weekly Strategy Podcast.
Rock, paper, scissors, scissors, paper, rock. If you're looking for a way to have fun anytime, anywhere, with anyone, I got a game and you really gotta try it. Rock, paper, scissors is a riot. Here we go.
Salutations from Arvada, Colorado for the April 1st episode of the Rock, Paper, Scissors Weekly Strategy Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Ibbett, and coming up on the show, we'll talk to two-time world champion RPS player Don Guckenberger. But before we get to that, let's take some listener mail. All right. Well, Larry Ferguson of Pocatello, Idaho writes, "Hi, Brian. Love the show. I'm a little bit behind on episodes, but I just heard the 500th episode from the Rock, Paper, Scissors Regionals in Las Vegas. Great show. Anyway, I hope that you can settle an argument that my buddy Rob and I are having. He says that when you beat somebody, it gives you the right to mime how your choice beat theirs. For example, if his rock beat my scissors, it gives him the right to take his fist and bash it down on my scissor hand. I say that's just fine if you're a 13-year-old girl. What's your take?" Well, thank you for your email, Larry. Yes, I do agree that it's a little bit childish to do the whole miming thing, you know, for example, covering their hand with your paper hand if you had paper and they had rock. However, it is something that is allowed in the official rules of the Ultimate Players Association, and I guess that kind of settles the argument. Yeah, let's go ahead and get to another email. Don Schmidt from Lake County, Illinois writes, "Brian, what's your take on fire and water?" Well, that's a good question. We talked about this a few shows back. Fire is one of those throws that you can do once in your lifetime. Basically, fire beats everything. Fire beats rock, fire beats paper, and fire beats scissors. However, you only get one throw in your entire life of fire. Now, your opponent can throw water as many times as they want. However, water is beaten by rock, paper, and scissors. However, water is the only thing that can extinguish fire. You know, I hate to bring up the Ultimate Players Association again for this one, but it is allowed in their rules to do the fire and water as potential trumps. So feel free to throw out that fire, but remember, you only get one in your entire life. All right, let's go ahead and listen to that interview with Don Guckenberger.
We only get 25?
We only get 25. Okay. All right, Brian Ibbett here with the two-time USA champion for Rock, Paper, Scissors, Mr. Don Guckenberger. Don, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. So we're actually here at the championships. You've just won your final round.
Oh, man, yeah.
And it was a tough one.
I'm still recovering.
It looked like it was some tense times there at the end.
You know, a lot of people think rock, paper, scissors, you know, it's what you do when you can't decide where to go to dinner or what movie to watch. This is competitive level.
Yeah.
And we take it seriously, and it really can get in your head. So, yeah, I'm still recovering a little bit. A little shocked. It's been awesome.
So, I noticed that you actually ran into some difficulties in the semifinal rounds.
No, I thought I had an easy run of it. But I did have a little bit of trouble with the officials.
You got a warning, my friend. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sometimes in competition, the heat of the moment can take over. And I was really feeling it. The guy, he was kind of staring me down. I didn't really like how he was doing it. And I took him out with the first bout and got a nice lead. So after that, I could start messing with him a little bit. And on the decisive roll, he threw out paper. I busted out my signature move, scissors. And couldn't control my enthusiasm and busted out a Shazam,
yeah,
which kind of is frowned on in the league. So I got a verbal reprimand, and I have to, you know, hold my tongue a little bit better in the future.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how you got into this. How did you start in competitive rock paper scissors?
Well, you know, like most people, I started playing rock paper scissors when I was about six, and we were trying to pick sides for the kickball team, but. You know, competitively, it didn't start till I was a freshman in college. I went to Slippery Rock University, and it was really big. People were really starting to play it competitively a lot, and I just got the bug. I just couldn't stop doing it, you know? It's awesome. So that's really where it started.
Excellent.
Now, you mentioned Slippery Rock. How is this, you know, obviously this all comes from different colleges. Do you find that there are some parts of the country where it's a lot more aggressive, a lot more competitive than others?
Well, yeah, I'm guessing, you know, some of your listeners don't know the whole setup of the tournament, but they have 9 different collegiate regions, and somebody has to win and qualify into those regions, and then they do some wild card entries on site on the day of the national tournament. So if you want to get the buy into the semifinals, you have to win one of the regional tournaments. Mm-hmm. And I just can never crack through in the Northeast region at Slippery Rock. Competition is fierce. People are very intense. And so when I graduated college and was looking for graduate schools, I wanted to make sure I went to a part of the country that maybe was a little bit easier for me to get through. So.
Excellent. Do you have any pre-game rituals that you like to go through?
Well, you know, I just go through the regular training regimen, you know, just practicing my shoots, going through the motions, you know, 1-2-3 rock, 1-2-3 scissors, 1-2-3 paper. I'm just kind of going through the cycle. I'll mix it up and just, you know, kind of really flex and loosen the fingers. You know, you got to have a lot of flexibility to adjust on the fly when you're staring down an opponent.
Yeah. Now let's talk strategy. Are you comfortable talking strategy?
Sure.
Okay.
I got nothing to hide.
All right. What is? Do you have a set strategy, or do you kind of play it by? Do you kind of play it randomly as you go game by game?
It's kind of a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. Most of rock, paper, scissors is reacting to what the other guy's doing, and it becomes a big head game. So when we're shooting our first engagement, I usually just kind of let caution fly to the wind, and whatever I throw, I throw. And then depending on if I win or lose, that's how I react. So a lot of times what I'll do is if I've won, for my next shoot, I'll go up one. And if I've lost, I'll go down 2 off of what the other guy did. So let's do one. Here, I'll show you what I mean.
Okay.
So it's 1-2-3 shoot. Okay?
Right, 1-2, yeah, that's a common rookie mistake is the 1-2 shoot compared to the 1-2-3 shoot. Right?
A lot of people do fall for that early and end up getting disqualified for tournaments when they haven't played as much.
Right, right. So. Do you get a warning? Do you get a yellow card?
You get
card?
A first warning, and then you lose a point, and then you're out.
Wow, okay.
So let's try this one just for fun.
Right.
Okay, so
sounds
go.
Good.
1-2-3, shoot. All right, so I just got you with my scissors against your paper.
Yep.
And I noticed that you served me the subpoena. Nice try.
Yes, I did the subpoena, yeah.
Putting the hand face up.
Yep.
It's pretty
palm
gutsy
up.
Going against, you know, competitive people. But I'll let it slide. So scissors takes over paper. So now, and I'm not going to tell you this when I'm really playing,
sure, of course.
But I would go rock, scissors, paper. I'm going to go 1 up to paper because I won.
Okay.
So the next time we shoot, I would throw paper.
Right.
And then if you beat me with scissors that time, then I would go 2 down from what you did.
Gotcha.
So I would bring rock.
Wow.
Now, the thing that gets really crazy is that's a basic strategy that I've been using for a long time. But people can see patterns and people can read you. So every other turn, I will switch that and go 2 up on a win and 1 down on a loss and kind of keep people on their toes. So sometimes I'll shoot a rock and a rock and a rock in a row, and they'll think that I'm just getting tired. They'll think I'm starting to get fatigued. Mm-hmm. But I'm really thinking hard about what they might be doing. And a lot of times it gets in their head instead of mine.
So that makes
a little
sense.
Bit of what I do.
And it's kind of related to you know what happened to Bob Double Scissors Oberman in the first round, how he got taken out so quickly. He got repetitive. He got predictable.
And he kind of flinched. I mean, you can't just start spazzing out with your hands. Because if it looks like you're trying to change after you've seen what the other guy shot, you're going to get a warning. And that's what happened with him. He was doing the scissors a couple times in a row, thought of it at the last second on the third one and tried to switch back to rock. And he got booted.
It
was tough. It was very tough.
Wow. Now, obviously, contemporary rock, paper, scissors, there have been a lot of attempts for people to, in some cases, some people consider it bastardizing the sport by integrating some new options. There's even been one option or one giant poster that's been made up with 101 different symbols that you can throw. But I think the most common one is rock, scissors, paper, Spock, lizard.
Lizard, yeah.
And Big Bang Theory even recently talked about that one.
Yeah.
What's your take on that?
You know, Friday night around the keg, fighting over who gets the last sip out of the beer, I'm all for having a little bit of fun. But this is competitive. This is high-level, competitive-level, championship rock, paper, scissors. And, you know, we've only been around competitively like this for a few years. They're less than a decade old at this kind of level of execution. But I'm really a purist at heart with it, and I think it should just stick at rock, paper, scissors, and really build up the tradition that way. I don't like messing with perfection.
Yeah.
It's pretty good the way it is. I mean, let's face it, it's been around for a long time.
It has. Has anyone ever in competition accidentally thrown one of the, thrown a Spock or thrown a lizard?
Yeah, see some rookie mistakes from the guys who haven't trained. You know, we train hard. We really focus in the tournament, in competition. And when the lights are coming down on you and you're in front of a group of people, anything can come out of your hands at that point.
Sure.
And I've seen it all.
Excellent. Well, congratulations again on your win. Fantastic job. And good luck next year. We'll be keeping our eyes on you.
Well, actually, I'm not going to be competing next year. I've graduated from my graduate school. I'm no longer eligible, but I've got a young protege that I'm working on.
Excellent.
Mr. Doro. Awesome. He's a young kid, and I think he's going to be great.
Excellent. Well, we'll be watching him. We'll see. Watch him come up through the ranks.
Yeah, he's going to be great.
Under your tutelage. Thanks again, Don.
All right. Thanks again to our special guest, Don Guckenberger, for his time there at the championships. Let's go ahead and take a listener call.
Hey, Brian, Matthew from Honolulu, Hawaii and Lukahi Development Studios. I want to talk to you more about your review of our upcoming WiiWare game. The question was, is why don't we involve the 25 additional hand gestures, including Lizard, Phoenix, et cetera, in our new software? It basically comes down to copyright rules. We can't find the original owners of the copyright and trademark of those various hand gestures, and our lawyer suggest we not involve them in the game until we can get clearance to use them. But we are looking forward for a December release of the WiiWare Gen Ken Po, both in the United States and in Japan. Talk to you later. Thank you, Brian.
Excellent, Matthew. Thank you for your follow-up there. Now we're going to do something a little bit different on the Rock, Paper, Scissors Weekly Strategy Podcast. We're going to play a little bit of music. And I've got three songs here that I've picked. And what's unusual about these songs is that they're not the original versions. They're what you call remakes. They're remakes of songs originally done by other performers. So this first one is a remake of XTC's Scissor Man performed by Primus. Let's go ahead and jump into Primus's Scissor Man.
Snipping, snipping, snipping goes the Scissor Man. Snippers, you will find the wound will never heal. No self-made.
Okay, that was I Am a Rock, performed by the Red House Painters. That is a remake of a song originally done by Simon Garfunkel. Before that, you heard the Lascivious Biddies doing It's Only a Paper Moon. You'll find that on their 2002 album, Biddy Lux. And we started off that set with Scissor Man by Primus, a remake of a song by XTC. And that one came from their 1998 album, Rhinoplasty. All right, well, joining me here in the studio is Tina. How are you, Tina?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. She's here for a little bit of Rock, Paper, Scissors, the Rock, Paper, Scissors Challenge.
Yep.
Yes. Are you ready?
Yep. I hope I win.
Okay. Now, you remember, it's one, two, three, go, right?
Okay.
All right. One, two, three, go. Oh, okay. I had scissors. Tina
had
paper.
Yeah.
All right. One, two, three, go. Ooh, two rocks. One, two, three, go. Rock again. The double rock. Two, three, go. Rock beats scissors. Wow. And so there's your 2 out of 3. Thank you, Tina, for participating.
You're welcome.
And it's just a quick reminder that the Rock, Paper, Scissors Weekly Strategy Podcast is brought to you by Audio Engine USA. Let's talk a little bit about their Audio Engine 5 speakers. Now, these are the premium powered bookshelf speakers. They look gorgeous. They come in either a black, a white, or a bamboo finish. But more importantly than how they look is how they sound. Natural mids, dynamic highs, and brilliant bass sounds to them. And they're ready for your devices, your USB, your headphone devices. You can plug an iPod into them, connect an iPod up, and it even has a USB port so you can charge that iPod or your Zune or your Creative Zen or whatever it is that you want to listen to. It also has red and white RCA jacks in the back so you can hook it up to your stereo, listen to your Xbox, your PS3, your Wii while you're playing any of the various Rock, Paper, Scissors games available on any of those platforms. Check them out right now, AudioEngineUSA.com. Make sure you use the link on the website, which you'll find at Coverville.com. And that's going to do it for this edition of the Rock, Paper, Scissors Weekly Strategy Podcast. Make sure you tune in next time when we go over the debate about rock. Is rock really for rookies? And we'll see you next time on the Rock, Paper, Scissors Weekly Strategy Podcast.
Riot. Here we go. Rock, rock, paper, scissors. Rock, rock, paper, scissors. Rock, rock, paper, scissors. Rock, paper, scissors. Scissors, paper, rock. Scissors beats paper and paper beats rock. You know what beats scissors? Rock. Call 1, 2, 3, pick one and make the sign. Rock, paper, scissors is a great time. Again.